It's time for overtime.
And I know just the guy to talk to.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Tell me more, tell me more.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It is hour number two on a Friday, noon on a Friday. Okay, a little bit past noon, but it's time for the High Noon Showdown, as always brought to you by the all-new Uncle Ed Specialty Meats, top-tier grill game specialties, burgers, brats, steak, and so much more. Uncle Ed Specialty Meats out there on the east side of Sioux Falls. Appreciate you being with us here. It is the Friday edition of Overtime. We're rounding out the weekend, ramping up into the NFL draft day two tonight, day three tomorrow. I can't wait. And with that, we quickly got our callers on hold. We got Dwayne and we got Robert. Dwayne was the quickest on the trigger. Dwayne, welcome back to the show, my friend. How you doing?
Doing great.
Hey, let's talk about this High Noon Showdown a little bit first. Do you want your questions from list A or list B today, Dwayne?
Gotta go with A.
Dwayne's trying to earn an A today with the High Noon Showdown. Dwayne, who's your NFL team, and what did you think about what they did last night in the draft?
I'm a Vikings fan, and I thought they did great.
Gotta be
great. Didn't have to sell the farm to move down.
Hey, you gotta be pretty excited if you're a Minnesota Vikings fan today. Now we'll hear from Robert, who's online too. Robert, you're going to be on list B today. Welcome into the show. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, we're excited to have you, Robert. Same question, though. What do you think about your team's draft? Are you also a Vikings fan?
Nope, I'm a Cowboys fan.
Okay, hey, welcome to the show, my friend. I appreciate the different nature. What do you think about the Cowboys? They did what the Packers did. They were pretty boring.
Yeah, we feel the need, though. You know, like, they have pretty good success with offensive linemen in the first round, so I'll take it.
Absolutely true. Packers did the same deal. Hopefully for our two franchises, they work out. We're geared up. We're ready to rumble. We got Dwayne and we got Robert, two very nice guys, but about to get in the fist fight here on the show. It's time for the High Noon Showdown on a Friday.
Put 'em up. Put 'em up.
Are you out of your mind? Because we could go to war. I'm for real. I'm for real. So you better check yourself.
Doesn't have to be a fight in the parking lot, although we'd love to see that, actually. It's time to duke it out in this week's edition of the High Noon Showdown.
We got a gift certificate to Uncle Ed Specialty Meats up for grabs today. As always with the High Noon Showdown, we also got some Minnesota Twins tickets up for grabs. Dwayne was our first caller. He gets his pick of the list, but he also has to go first today. Dwayne, welcome back in. Your first question, what jersey number does Jamal Murray wear with the Denver Nuggets? What do you think?
32.
That is not correct, Dwayne, but do not fret here. The other caller, Robert, has to get his right to be up on you here. Robert, what jersey number does young star Paulo Banchero wear with his team?
Number 5.
That is correct. Good start, Robert. You can look to put the feet to the fire for Dwayne here if you can tell me who Ricky Pearsall, not who he is, but where he played college football most recently. He was drafted by the Niners last night. He's a wide receiver, and he was drafted with one of the last picks in the first round. Where did Ricky Pearsall most recently play college football?
The University of Florida.
That is correct. Robert, you know your stuff. Dwayne, you got to get back on the right track, my friend. The last pick of the draft last night, receiver, went to Carolina. His name is Xavier Leggett. Where did he play college football, Dwayne?
South Carolina.
That is correct. You're still alive, my friend. You can even equalize the score if you can tell me this correct answer. How many conference finals, and multiple choice here, how many conference finals appearances do the Timberwolves have in their history? How many conference finals appearances do the Timberwolves have in their history? Is it 0, is it 1, or is it 2?
1.
That is correct, Dwayne. You've tied it up at 2 apiece, but an opportunity here, Robert. You can go 3-0. You can win the grill pack. You can win the grilling bucks out to Uncle Ed's Meats and the Minnesota Twins tickets if you can answer this multiple choice question correctly. When is the last time the Minnesota Timberwolves had a 3-0 playoff series lead? Was it back in 2008, 2009? Was it 03, 04? Or is it something that they have never done? What do you think, Robert?
I'll probably say 03-04.
That is not correct. We're going to overtime on overtime. They have never held a 3-0 playoff series lead in their history. On to overtime. Robert, you get the first guess here. You got to give me a number. Last night broke the record for the most offensive players taken in the first round in NFL draft history. How many offensive players were taken last night, Robert?
Say 19.
19 is your guess. Over to Dwayne. Dwayne, welcome back. Do you want to go higher or lower than 19? Pick a number for me.
Higher.
Okay, what number? Just spit one out for me.
Oh, 24.
24. You are closer, Dwayne. Come from behind winner, my friend. 23, the correct answer last night. You rose from the ashes. You win the grill pack, the Grill Bucks, and the Minnesota Twins tickets. Dwayne, you have questions on your tickets or anything, you can dial us up. But congratulations. Come from behind winner today on the High Noon Showdown. Well done.
Appreciate it.
All
Thank
right.
You.
And Dwayne, congratulations. It probably feels pretty darn good to start the weekend a winner here on Overtime. High Noon Showdown, always brought to you by the all-new Uncle Ed Specialty Meats out there on the east side. If you need grilling materials, I'm talking everything you need, from spices and dry rubs to grills, everything you need. The all-new Uncle Ed Specialty Meats, including steak and chicken and shrimp and everything you could possibly think of throwing on a grill, Uncle Ed's has you covered out there on the east side of Sioux Falls. Dwayne, again, feel free to call us back. Any questions? Congratulations, my friend. What a start to the weekend for Dwayne, taking home the High Noon Showdown. Now in town and time for your scorecard check-in, headlines and highlights here. NHL playoffs did happen last night. You couldn't tell from the first hour of the show. We're pretty darn taken with the NFL draft, but Florida, the Panthers, one of the more impressive teams to start out the postseason, and Matthew Tkachuk, one of the big reasons why the Panthers dominate Tampa Bay on the road, and they win it 5-3.
Puck handled by Forsling, flipped along near side, Verhaeghe tips it along, here's Tkachuk toward the open net, Tkachuk near circle, a shot, he scores! Matthew Tkachuk, the empty netter, and the Panthers take a 5-3 lead with 31.5 on the clock.
Panthers take a commanding series lead 3-0. Same deal for the Carolina Hurricanes. They win in New York over the Islanders. That final score 3-2. Canes leading that series 3-0. Tonight in the NHL, Rangers at Capitals game 3. Rangers hold a 2-0 series lead. 6 o'clock puck drop on TNT. Canucks at Predators. That series tied 1-1. 6:30 on TBS. Couple other series that are tied 1-1. Jets at Avalanche. 9 o'clock on TNT. Oilers at Kings. 9:30 on TBS. NBA postseason last night. Same deal. I was taken with the NFL draft. I flipped between watching Bill Belichick suddenly have a personality and watching Nick Saban suddenly not being such a grump. And with ESPN, it was the Pat McAfee Show. Great coverage across the board for the NFL draft. You can also listen to the draft right here on ESPN Sioux Falls. But the NBA also put on a show last night. The Orlando Magic aren't done yet. Paolo Banchero, a big game and a win in game 3 for Orlando.
Paolo, top of the key, gives to Wendell. Now it's Jalen, where that first step is smoking for Jalen tonight.
Beautiful feed to Paolo Banchero, and he steps into a three and drills it.
Banchero, 31 points, 14 rebounds in a 121-83 demolition of visiting Cleveland. That series an advantage still for the Cavs, 2-1. Elsewhere, you heard Joel Embiid say, hey, we're going to win this series. I'm not worried about it. I believe in our team. He goes for 50 in a big win, redemption style for Philly.
20 seconds to go, 5 on the clock. Maxey against Hart, over to Embiid for 3. It's up and good. Are you kidding me? Another 3. Tom Thibodeau, I was looking on like, what is going on? The Sixers are pouring in 3.
125-114 the final. Sixers back with a game 3 win. That series still held advantage by New York, 2-1. Joel Embiid, 50 points and 8 boards. Elsewhere, Denver pretty much slams the door on the Lakers. Nikola Jokic, pretty good.
At the midcourt circle is Murray. Right back over to Jokic. Floater. Got it! Denver's up by 13 points on Los Angeles in game number 3 with 90 seconds to go. And this thing is over!
112-105. 7-point win for Denver on the road. Denver leads it 3-0. Jokic just shy of a triple-double last night. Head coach Michael Malone of the Nuggets says his starters pretty darn tough.
That starting group, man, they've been through a lot of wars. They're battle tested. Every time we get down, we don't panic. We stay the course and we find a way to get back in the game. And winning a championship has brought that group tremendous confidence, not only in themselves, but in the collective.
Tonight in the NBA, Bucks at Pacers, it's Game 3. That series tied a game apiece, 4:30 on ESPN. Mavericks host the Clippers tonight, 7 o'clock on ESPN. Timberwolves, 2-0 series lead, looking for their first ever 3-0 series lead in franchise history. 9:30 on ESPN tonight, Timberwolves at the Suns. Major League Baseball, Cubbies win again. Something's wrong with Houston. I won't tell you, Houston, we have a problem, but they kind of do. Cubs cruise to a 3-1 win.
The right-hander, Abreu. Oh! Pro Armstrong hits one in the air! Deep right field! This is going to go! It's gone! The first major league hit for Pete Pro Armstrong is a bomb to right!
Pretty big moment there for the youngster. 3-1 the win for Chicago. They're 16-9. Other winners yesterday, Milwaukee over Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh 7-5. Cleveland wins at home against Boston 6-4. And the Minnesota Twins back on the right track. A super sweep, four-game sweep of the hapless, gutless, talentless Chicago White Sox right now. 6-3 the final. Their offense has been sluggish, but Eddie Julian saying, hey, I can help out.
1-2. Swung on, hit high in the air for Julian. Deep left field. Grossman tracking, still going. Base of the wall, and it's gone. No net required. It's a two-homer day for Eddie Julian.
6-3 the final. Minnesota now 11-13. Other finals, Kansas City wins over Toronto 2-1. The Royals are 16-10. And the Colorado Rockies get a win. High-scoring game 10-9 in Denver over the Padres. 7-19 the new record for the Rockies. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, here's the matchups. Royals at Tigers, Cubs at Red Sox, Cardinals at Mets, Guardians visit the Braves, White Sox are home to the Rays, Yankees at Brewers, Twins at Angels. 8:30 tonight for the Minnesota Twins, and a big-time rarity here. We are putting day two of the NFL draft on the airwaves here on ESPN Sioux Falls, so we will not be carrying the Minnesota Twins games. It's always a tough decision, but we will take the night off from Twins baseball. 8:30 the start time for the game. We'll be carrying the NFL draft beginning with coverage at 5 o'clock right here on ESPN Sioux Falls. Twins weekend schedule Saturday in Anaheim against the Angels. 8:30 the start time, 8 o'clock pregame coverage. Sunday, 2:30 pregame, 3 o'clock the first pitch time. Last night, the NFL draft underway from Detroit. By the way, more than 275,000 individuals showed up for the draft, and according to Pro Football Focus, Pro Football Talk, that real number may have been a lot higher, as it's tough to estimate crowds that large, but 275,000. Can't wait to see. That was a record-breaking night. It's going to be a record-breaking weekend out in Detroit. I don't think Green Bay will be able to break the record next year, but again, I will not hold my breath on that prediction. But last night, the big highlight early, Caleb Williams, this year's number one overall pick, going to the Chicago Bears.
With the first pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams, quarterback, Southern California.
Big moment for the Bears and their future. They had Roma Dunze at pick number 9. It's an interesting blend on offense as the Bears all of a sudden looking pretty darn scary. 7-10 the record last year. We'll see what they can put together this year in the rookie year for Caleb Williams. Other highlights and lowlights from the draft. Michael Penix gets drafted, but he goes to a place that just invested heavily in Kirk Cousins. He's an Atlanta Falcon, and this is an interesting decision to say the least.
Kirk Cousins is our quarterback. We're very excited about Kirk, very excited about this team. And Michael Penix is, we're talking about the future. The draft is, you look at the future and you look at big picture, but we are very excited about that quarterback room. And again, Kirk is our quarterback, but adding Michael Penix is thinking about the future.
That's the Atlanta Falcons general manager on the stunning decision last night, not necessarily to take a quarterback, but take a quarterback where they did in the top 8 and alienate the quarterback that you just welcomed to town with open arms, saying, welcome home, Kirk. You're our guy. We absolutely love you. He reiterates that he is their guy for now. But that's an interesting kind of selection there. And Michelle Smallman this morning on Sportsmanlike saying that Kirk Cousins, who was reportedly a little bit miffed about not being communicated with, a little bit miffed about already being in the works to be replaced in a place that he's just now moving into, Michelle Smallman says Kirk should be upset.
If I'm Kirk Cousins, I'm a little upset today. Not because I blame them for having an eye past me, but because part of the reason I went to Atlanta, if I'm Kirk Cousins, despite the $180 million, which is a huge piece of it, obviously, is because I looked at this team, I looked at the weapons they have, the pieces they have in place, and I thought, we can win now. We could win this division, and we could go on a playoff run. This could be a team that could win a Super Bowl. So if I'm Kirk Cousins, I'm expecting them to fortify the team for now, especially on defense. I'm thinking, oh, they're going to go out, they're going to add a pass rusher. They're going to do something that's going to immediately provide dividends for our team, and they didn't do that. So while I get the Falcons making the pick, and I commend them for it, if I'm Kirk Cousins, I still feel a type of way this morning.
Certainly bigger needs for the Atlanta Falcons than a quarterback contingency plan, quarterback plan for the future. You just forked over big money for a guy that you hope can help you win the NFC South. You hope can help you win some playoff games, and you hope you can get back to a Super Bowl sometime soon. And you immediately, before he even takes a single snap with the team, before he takes anything on the field, any training camp snaps or anything like that, you go ahead and draft a quarterback. I don't understand it. I still don't think Kirk is the kind of guy to get super crazy upset over this, but he has a right to be upset today. And for those people saying this is exactly what the Packers do, not even close. Yes, the Packers surprised Aaron Rodgers by drafting Jordan Love, but Rodgers was old. The Packers had drafted him. They had developed him. He had been in-house. They didn't just ink him to some massive free agent deal, say, welcome to town. Hey, we're also drafting this guy. You got to teach him and show him everything you know. Kirk Cousins, interesting situation with the Atlanta Falcons. That was one team last night that a lot of people said it could have been a little bit better for Atlanta in round number one. As far as draft prospects go, the biggest name that fell out of round one, it's up for debate, but probably Cooper DeJean, guy with local ties here, went to high school out at OABCIG High School out in Western Iowa and was an Odebolt kid there. And then also was born in Sioux Falls. So a lot of ties to our area. Mel Kiper Jr. says, despite him falling out of round one, Cooper DeJean is the best player available tonight.
I'll go to Cooper DeJean. I have him at 13 on the board. He's a corner safety. He's a hell of a football player. If nothing gets behind him, he's back from the injury, ran 4.42, vertical 38 and a half inches. He's still there in the second round. So somebody's got themselves a really good defensive back who's got versatility and is ready to perform. Very smart, very instinctive, was a heck of a player for Iowa. Had three pick sixes in 2022, can return punts. I'm a big Cooper DeJean fan. He's going to be a really good second round pick for somebody. And as a versatile defensive back, which is what most teams need.
And that's Cooper DeJean, of course, the top available player, according to most metrics heading into tonight. Other big names out there, Adonai Mitchell, as well as Johnny Newton, the defensive lineman, interior defensive lineman from the University of Illinois. As far as the teams with the top picks tonight, the Buffalo Bills traded down with the Panthers late last night. They've got the first overall pick in the second round, followed by the Patriots, the Cardinals, the Commanders, the Chargers, the Titans, the Panthers, the Commanders again, and then the Green Bay Packers picking at pick number 9 in round number 2. That pick coming by way of the Aaron Rodgers trade to the New York Jets. Over the weekend, NASCAR race Sunday, 1 o'clock at Dover, Fox Sports 1 with the coverage. PGA Tour golf continues from the Zurich Classic down in New Orleans, running from today through Sunday. That's your weekend recap and what happened last night in the sports world. Big day yesterday for Augustana softball. They sweep Minnesota State 3-0 and 4-3 yesterday afternoon as the Vikings celebrated Senior Day with their 23rd and 24th consecutive victory. The Vikings went undefeated at Bowden Field this season. Augie wins game 1, 3-0. Game 2, 4-3. Grace Glanzer started game 1. Lexi Lander game 2. And up next for Augustana, they take the remainder of the week off as they prep for the NSIC Championships. Championships are slated for at home, a place they did not lose this season, Bowden Field, right here in Sioux Falls from May 1st through May the 4th. South Dakota State will seek separation from teams behind it in the Summit League baseball standings as the Jackrabbits play host to Oral Roberts in a 3-game weekend series. Today's season opener slated for 3 p.m. Series opener slated for 3 p.m. at Irv Huther Field. Games Saturday and Sunday are set for respective start times of noon and 1 p.m. No admission will be charged for this weekend's games. However, concessions will not be available at the ballpark throughout the series. Good note there to take note of. More information, gojacks.com. And the big news. news that all you Vikings fans are so excited about today and yesterday is that the Minnesota Vikings traded up not too far and didn't give up too much to get their quarterback of the future. Vikings have their new quarterback 6 weeks after bidding farewell to veteran Kirk Cousins. Certainly feels longer than that. The Vikings moved up just one spot in last night's draft and selected Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy at number 10 overall. McCarthy provided an attractive consolation prize after the team tried and failed to acquire the number 3 pick, where they hoped to draft North Carolina's Drake May and were rebuffed by the L.A. Chargers in a long-shot attempt to trade for veteran Justin Herbert. So the Vikings certainly had other pots and other irons in the fire last night. It was not J.J. McCarthy the whole way. It wasn't J.J. McCarthy no matter what, but certainly a pretty darn good consolation prize, number 10 overall. Later in the night, they did it again. They move up with the Jaguars 6 spots to get pick number 17 and take the player that had fallen the farthest. That, of course, Dallas Turner, the outside linebacker, pass rusher, defensive end, 3-4 guy, really good player, falls into the Vikings' lap at number 17, a trade up. The Vikings don't have a whole lot of draft capital remaining. No picks tonight. They've got a 4, 2 sixes, and 2 sevens left in this draft. And as of right now, and yes, there's more comp picks being computed down the line. That'll be well over 6-8 months from now before we get those officially. But comp picks not included next year right now for the Minnesota Vikings. They have a first rounder and 2 picks in round number 5. That is it. But certainly worth the squeeze. As of last night for the Vikings, they land J.J. McCarthy and the pass rusher, Dallas Turner from Alabama. We take the break, come back, and an update on our draft contest. I got 4 perfect entries right now, which means we're going to the tiebreaker. I'll let you know who's in that final 4, what you got to root for over the weekend, and the latest from the National Football League coming up next. We'll talk basketball this hour. Minnesota Timberwolves looking to go for the kill tonight in Phoenix. That game 9:30, the start time. It's a big one. First time ever, potentially, Timberwolves will hold a 3-0 series lead. We'll wait and see there, dive into some odds, and we'll round out the week's shows with the good, the bad, the ugly at the end of today's show. Hang with us. It's Overtime. It's Friday. Let's start the dance, people. We're back with more of Overtime after this.
It's so convenient. Sports on the go. Download the free app now. This is ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you. It's the Friday edition of Overtime. Thanks so much for being with us all day long, all week long here on the show. You ever miss any of the program? Podcast links are easily accessible, ESPNSiouxFalls.com or on your mobile device. It's an easy download at the Apple App Store or Google Play, ESPN Sioux Falls app for free. Podcast links, local sports stories, everything in between, and opportunities to engage with the show as well on the free ESPN Sioux Falls app. Now for the latest from the NFL. Before we dive into that, wanted to update you on our final 4. Thanks for everyone for playing the substitution for the Friday parlay this week. It's the NFL draft. I love the draft, so I took the parlay out and I put a draft contest in. Jared, Greg, Wilson, and Jason are your finals. R. Wilson, whatever the first name is there. We got that entry on Twitter. That's the final 4. Jared P., Greg K., R. Wilson, and Jason E. All 4 of those individuals nailed all 4 of our picks. Number of quarterbacks in round 1, the second quarterback drafted, Vikings first pick of the night, and does Denver draft a quarterback? I wasn't so sure on Denver drafting a quarterback, to be honest, in the entirety of the draft, but many people said, the majority said yes, and those people paid off with dividends. So the final 4, Jared P., Greg K., R. Wilson, and Jason E. I'll reach out to those individuals next week on Monday for whoever wins the whole deal. Jared guessed 21 wide receivers taken in the whole draft. Greg has 33. R. Wilson, 37 receivers in the draft, and Jason has 25. So definitely a smattering there. We'll wait and see where we end up. But that's the final 4 for our NFL draft contest this week. It's brought to you by Possibilities in High-End Glass and Tobacco. And for those of you wondering, no Friday parlay over the weekend because I put that whole prize pack into a little box here in the studio, and it's going hand-delivered here at our stations to the winner of that draft day, draft weekend contest. Now news from the NFL, some pre-draft rumblings, some during the draft reaction, and some draft reaction for tonight and tomorrow and the conclusion of the draft. In the weeks leading up to the draft this year, the Chargers did receive trade calls for star quarterback Justin Herbert from the New England Patriots and the Minnesota Vikings, but were quickly turned down both requests, according to Adam Schefter. Chargers general manager, new GM Joe Ortiz confirmed on Thursday that he did field inquiries about Herbert, but did not specify which teams contacted him. Justin who? Ortiz said with a smile, no. At the combine, I had some people ask me, would we consider it? And they were quickly shot down. No, that is never an option. Just like I said earlier in the week, Justin Herbert is the reason that the Chargers were an attractive job. Justin Herbert is the reason the Chargers will get back to the playoffs soon, and Justin Herbert is the reason that their head coach is now Jim Harbaugh. Same division, different team. The Denver Broncos decision maker said over and over again in the weeks leading up to Thursday's first round that they would not, quote, force a decision at quarterback. Whether or not the Broncos indeed forced the issue remains to be seen, but what the Broncos did do is make history when they selected Bo Nix off the board at pick 12 last night. Nix's selection tied a record of 6 quarterbacks selected in the first round set back in 1983. When the Broncos Hall of Famer John Elway was the number one pick of the draft by the Baltimore Colts, never played there, was traded to the Broncos, rest is history. In all, a record 23 offensive players, including the first 14 picks off the board, were selected in the first round, breaking the previous mark of 19. Now that record of 23 will go on and on and on for a long time. Nix's selection with the number 12 pick was the highest the Broncos have taken a quarterback since they drafted some guy named Jay Cutler, number 11 overall back in 2006. Of course, was it too high for Bo Nix? Maybe. Are the Broncos desperate? Definitely. And it comes together, Bo Nix, the pick number 12 for the future quarterback of the Denver Broncos. And now, if you aren't jazzed up about tonight, here's why you should be. You got a lot of players that could be on the move, both matching soon-to-be rookies to new teams. But how about the veterans that might be looking for trades, seeking trades, and looking for partners here? The San Francisco 49ers could be sellers tonight. General manager John Lynch and coach Kyle Shanahan made their way to the auditorium last night, and a text popped up on each of their phones. The sender was Brandon Ayuk, the subject of plenty of trade speculation amid the Niners' latest attempts to consummate a big-money contract extension with one of their star receivers. Lynch and Shanahan had just spent the number 31 pick in the NFL draft on Thursday on Florida wide receiver Ricky Pearsall, a selection that didn't do much to quiet the Ayuk rumors. But Ayuk's message wasn't one of anger last night. He sent a text that said, fire pick, I can't lie. And in case those of you that are Gen Z illiterate, when something is fire these days, hey, that's a really dandy, cool pick, guys. Fire pick, I can't like, according to Brandon Ayuk. Ayuk and Pearsall did play together at Arizona State back in 2019. Very familiar, but that doesn't change the fact that Brandon Ayuk might be out of town. And another guy that has been linked into some trade rumors from that team, Deebo Samuel. Kind of a disappointing year last year. Definitely working towards another contract as well. Ayuk and Samuel on the block. And the other guy out there in the National Football League at the wide receiver spot that could maybe, just maybe, fall into the lap of the Buffalo Bills is T. Higgins out in Cincinnati. He's reportedly looking for a trade, looking for a new home. Long-term deal isn't in the cards right now for T. Higgins in Cincinnati. They just inked their fifth-year option with Jamar Chase, who should be and is their priority at the position. T. Higgins wants a trade, and he might be available, so a trio of wide receivers could be moved tonight and tomorrow in the NFL draft. Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel of the Niners, and T. Higgins of the Cincinnati Bengals, although to be fair, the ESPN article for the Niners, Ayuk and Samuel, still quote-unquote unlikely. But again, you never know. We did see A.J. Brown traded during the NFL draft not too long ago. Stranger things have happened. We'll take a shift of the gears coming up next and talk some basketball, the latest from the NBA, the odds tonight for the Timberwolves to take a 3-0 series lead with a road win over the Suns. You think they can do it? I'll give the odds coming up next, and much, much more NBA basketball talk coming up next on Overtime.
Orange Hoops and the NFL and Major League Baseball. It's all here on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls Sports Leader.
Back with you on this Friday edition of Overtime. Appreciate you tuning us in as always. ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO. Next week on the show, we'll be talking with Augustana baseball head coach Tim Huber early on in the week. We'll also be breaking down the NFL draft from as many angles as possible. All of our area teams open to break down the Chiefs, the Broncos, the Vikings, and the Packers, the Bears, and the Lions as best as we can in the next couple of weeks here on the show. Appreciate you tuning us in, as always, right here on ESPN Sioux Falls. Let's shift gears just a bit. We'll get you the good, the bad, the ugly here in a moment. We're talking NBA postseason, and a team with an uphill battle is the Phoenix Suns, and another one is the Milwaukee Bucks. They're tied one game apiece, but here's why their battle is so uphill. Not only do they not have Giannis Antetokounmpo for at least a little while longer, but the Bucks also face the possibility of continuing their Eastern Conference first-round playoff series against the Pacers tonight without two of their top three players. Chris Middleton has a sprained right ankle that kept him from practicing yesterday and puts his status in question for tonight in Indianapolis. The Bucks already played the first two games of the series without the two-time MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo, who had a left calf strain. It's another holding our breath situation, Bucks coach Doc Rivers said about Middleton's availability for Friday. Honestly, I don't know. The NBA's injury report yesterday afternoon listed Giannis as doubtful and Middleton as questionable for tonight's game. The Bucks and Pacers tied 1-1 in the best of seven series. Not only did Joel Embiid set a playoff career high with 50 points last night to carry the Sixers into their first round or get back into their first round series against the Knicks with a 125-114 win, but he did it while playing through Bell's palsy, a condition that has affected the left side of his face. I think it started a day or two before the Miami game in the play-in tournament. I had bad migraines and I thought it was nothing. It was pretty annoying, you know, it was with the left side of my face, my mouth and my eyes. So yeah, it's been tough. But I'm not a quitter. I gotta keep fighting. But yes, it's unfortunate. That's the way I look at it. But it's not an excuse. Gotta keep pushing. Embiid said the condition has affected his vision at times, causing it to be blurry, and said he constantly has to put drops in his eye from keep it from getting too dry. He also said it's unclear how long the condition could last, but that it could be weeks or months. Despite dealing with the condition, Embiid was able to put up a historic performance last night, willing his team back into the series, 50 points in a 11-point win, 125-114. Game 4 of that series is coming up on Sunday, and right now, Sixers are a 5-point favorite according to DraftKings Sportsbook. Odds, odds, and more odds now. The games tonight, Milwaukee and Indiana from Indianapolis. Dallas plays host to the Clippers, and the Timberwolves have Game 3, first game in Phoenix tonight on the road. Milwaukee Bucks, despite the injuries, still in the game just a bit. It's a 6-point spread now. Was a little thinner than that, but with the Middleton uncertainty and the Giannis doubtful status for tonight, it's Indiana's world, and the Bucks are just existing in it. 6 points the spread right now for Indiana over Milwaukee in Game 3. Clippers are a road dog in Dallas, 4.5-point spread there, and the Phoenix Suns are still favored to win tonight against Minnesota, but it's the second closest to the three. It is a 5-point spread over under there, Timberwolves and the Suns over under 208 total points. Tomorrow, it's a full slate. We got 4 games going on, Cleveland and Orlando. Cleveland's a 2-point road dog there. OKC's a road favorite, 1-point favorite in New Orleans against the Pelicans for Game 3. Boston and Miami. Miami did the unthinkable. 14.5-point underdog. They win outright. Historic downtown shooting night from 3 in the postseason or otherwise. Miami is still a dog at home for Game 3. 9-point underdog in that contest against Jason Tatum and others in the Boston Celtics. And then, of course, Game 4 should be a sweeperoo for the Denver Nuggets out in L.A. Saturday night. That spread right now favoring Denver on the road at 3 points. points as the line. And again, that Sunday standalone game, Knicks and Sixers right now, it's a 5-point spread in favor of the Philadelphia 76ers. We got a lot to get to, including a ridiculously bizarre situation from Charlotte, North Carolina. I won't tell you any more than that, although you might have a pretty good guess at what I'm talking about. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And I mean ugly. Ugly, ugly. Underlined, capitalized, bold, italicized. It is bad for Charlotte, and I'll tell you why coming up next. It's the good, the bad, the ugly as we say so long and toodaloo into the remainder of the NFL draft weekend. Back with more of Overtime after this.
The best sporting matchups and coverage. We are ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you. It is the Friday week-ending edition of Overtime. Appreciate you tuning us in as always right here on ESPN Sioux Falls. We got a juicy good, the bad, the ugly to get to. Again, NFL draft coverage tonight, 5 o'clock, but we got a stupefying, embarrassing, and flat-out stupid story to get to for the ugly today. You're tuned into the right place. If you're ready for it, it's the good, the bad, the ugly as we say so long to the work week.
Who has been the problem child today? Displayed their ugly side. Whined a bit too much and now setting a bad example. Well, Bert is calling out today's headline makers with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
You'll want to stick around for the ugly. I think this is the ugliest story I've shared in probably a month on the airwaves with you, delivering the good, the bad, the ugly just about every day on Overtime. Good news for Jaden Rashada, the semi-transfer all the way across the country. Jaden Rashada now leaving Arizona State after a year there. The 31st overall recruit back in 2023. Initially signed at Florida. NIL deal fell out of place there with the Gator Collective. Moved over to Arizona State. Recently entered the transfer portal and now he's got a new home. Top prospect, lands with the top program. He's a member of the Georgia Bulldog football program. Iowa State Cyclone football fans will be happy to know they're going international. Iowa State and Kansas State will play their 2025 season opener out in Ireland at the Aer Lingus College Football Classic. The Cyclones and Wildcats will close the 2024 regular season in Ames on November 24th and will meet again the following August the 23rd at Aviva Stadium in Dublin. The fourth annual game in Ireland announced on Wednesday marks the first time Iowa State and Kansas State have met in a season opener and the third time they've squared off at a neutral site. Ireland, book your tickets now. Probably the cheapest way to get there for you Wildcats or you Cyclone fans. On to the bad news there. Unfortunate passing. Former New York Giants offensive lineman Corey Cunningham was found passed away at his New Jersey home at the age of 28 years old. We're saddened to hear the passing of Corey Cunningham. The Giants said in a statement on Friday morning, he was a vital part of the spirit and camaraderie of the locker room. Our thoughts are with Corey's family, friends, and teammates. Cunningham was drafted in the seventh round of the 2018 NFL draft by the Cardinals out of the University of Cincinnati. Also spent time with the New England Patriots before joining the Giants in 2021. Now on to the bad and the ugly. The ugly, ugly comes from the NFL draft. We'll get to the ugly, ugly here in a second. But this first story, ugly for the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons pulled off the biggest shocker of the NFL draft last night, taking Washington quarterback Michael Penix Jr. at number 8 overall. And that reportedly stunned the feeling extended to the incumbent quarterback, Kirk Cousins. The Falcons made the pick despite signing the veteran quarterback Cousins to a 4-year, $100 million. An $80 million contract last month in free agency. Cousins agent Mike McCartney told ESPN's Pete Thamel that the Falcons only notified the quarterback that they would take Penix while the team was on the clock. McCartney said there is frustration and confusion coming from Cousins' camp because Atlanta did not use its first-round pick to make the team better this season. Instead, the Falcons used their selection on Cousins' apparent successor before he even plays a snap for the team. McCartney said Cousins understands the business of football and is ready to move on, but there was indeed surprise about the Falcons' decision, and for good reason. You go there for a reason because you think you're the dude long-term. Point period and point blank there. He signed a 4-year deal. It's a 2-year deal if you think about it from the financials, when they could move on realistically from Kirk. But if he's there, he's going to the playoffs and he's winning, I'm sure Kirk, like he did in Minnesota, would like to stay there and continue to be the guy. And they immediately plan for the future. Pretty tough pill to swallow last night for Kirk Cousins. Now, here's the ugly that you've all been waiting for, and it comes from Charlotte, North Carolina. And you know what I'm about to say. Panthers owner David Tepper is a sensitive little man. Has a combined hot temper with thin skin and stayed true to form last night, yesterday rather, via Alex Zeitlow of the Charlotte Observer. Tepper saw a sign outside of a Charlotte bar, which I don't know if you're familiar, David Tepper, but bars like to be witty. They like to be funny. They like to draw customers in, and something that's witty and funny is to make fun of the hapless Carolina Panthers these days, because it has been a disaster since you took over as the owner. Here's what the sign read yesterday. Tepper saw a sign outside of a Charlotte bar that said, "Please let the coach and GM pick this year." So Tepper, in Tepper fashion, stops his car, pulls into the parking lot, and goes in, and there's security footage to boot. He didn't throw a drink on anybody this time. He wasn't that sensitive, but he goes in. He's talking to the guy up front and the gal up front and talking about, clearly asks who wrote the sign or who put the sign together out front. That's pretty funny, huh? And says some other things that I can't speculate on, but it's incredibly sensitive for David Tepper not only to not appreciate the sign, but to go into the restaurant. And the worst part, the gentleman that raised his hand and said, "Hey, I put that sign together. I thought it was kind of funny." It is funny. It's hilarious. But he takes the dude's hat off of his head, grabs the hat, and it's an Eagles hat, puts it on the table and points at it like, "Why are you rooting for that team? You should be rooting for the Charlotte Carolina Panthers here in town." David Tepper is so darn sensitive. It is awful, and the Panthers have the worst owner in the National Football League, and it ain't close right now. Daniel Snyder no longer an owner. David Tepper has slid right in to that role. And by the way, in regards to the Philadelphia Eagles hat, I'm going to enlighten you because I spent a lot of time in North Carolina, 13 years. Wife is from there, went to college there. I know Panthers fans and I know fans in that area. And about the Philadelphia Eagles hat, why would there be an Eagles fan in Charlotte, North Carolina? When you start a new franchise in a new place that is traditionally fans of the Cowboys, fans of the Commanders, used to be Redskins up there in D.C., fans of the Falcons maybe, all sorts of fans in that area, it takes some time to get ingrained into the community. The Panthers are renowned for not having the most loyal and robust fan base, and they don't, and it takes time. Think about this from a Sioux Falls perspective. If we were three times the size, let's say we were 600,000, and we were on the short list for a new NHL team, new baseball team, new NFL team, let's just say that. Do you think that you would rescind your fandom for the Vikings, rescind your fandom for the Packers, rescind your fandom for the Chiefs to go ahead and say, "Hey, I'm going to be a fan of this new Sioux Falls team"? Yeah, it would be cool. It would be cute to be a fan and buy tickets and support Sioux Falls. I would certainly buy tickets, support Sioux Falls, but I'm still going to love the Packers. And that's what you're dealing with in Charlotte, North Carolina right now and forever, is that those fans are still waiting for the team to be good enough, for the team to be old enough, and for the team to start winning big games and making good, sound business decisions to earn their trust and earn their support and earn their loyalty. David Tepper, absolute clown behavior. It is the ugliest of ugly to round out the show. The good news is the weather might be ugly this weekend, but it's the NFL draft weekend. Enjoy it. We're back on Monday, 11-1, to recap it all. Have a great weekend, Sioux Falls. Talk to you then.